Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 16. Nasato vidyate bhavo. Nambhavo vidyate sataha. Ubayorapi drishtontas. Tvanayos tatvadarshibihi. So we'll read the translation. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Translation with a repetition. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There is no endurance of the changing body. That the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science, and thus growth and old age are taking place in the body. But the spirit soul exists permanently, remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever changing, and the soul is eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. In the Vishnu Purana 2.12.38, it is stated that Vishnu and his abodes all have self-illuminated spiritual existence. Jyotimshi Vishnur Bhuvanani Vishnu. The words existent and non-existent refer only to spirit and matter. That is the version of all seers of truth. This is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Removal of ignorance involves the reestablishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipper and the worshipable, and the consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself, the difference between oneself and the Supreme being understood as the relationship between the part and the whole. In the Vedanta Sutras, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. The living entities belong to the superior nature, as it will be revealed in the seventh chapter. Although there is no difference between the energy and the energetic is accepted as the supreme, and the energy or nature is accepted as the subordinate. The living entities, therefore, are always subordinate to the Supreme Lord, as in the case of the master and the servant, or the teacher and the taught. Such clear knowledge is impossible to understand under the spell of ignorance. And to drive away such ignorance, the Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment of all living entities for all time. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnubiraya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamini Tinamini Nama Acharya Paraya Nitai Kripa Purayane Igor Kataramdai Nagaragamatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacchade Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langate Girim Yakipatamaham Bhangade Sri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Nasato vijite bhavo, na bhavo vijite sataha, ubayor api drishtontas, tvanayos tattva darshibihi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So here, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport itself, that Lord Krishna is giving the introductory teachings to Arjuna, and of course to all of us. Arjuna is representing all of us. He was, by the will of the Lord, put into ignorance about, of course he's an eternal associate of the Lord, but if that did not happen, where he was covered over temporarily and put into ignorance, then the Bhagavad Gita would not have been spoken. So it was for him, but actually it's really for all of us. And the battle of Kurukshetra was going on then, and we're all fighting battles in our own lives every day. This knowledge is very, very relevant. As it's mentioned, the body is, has no endurance, but for the soul, there's no change. The soul is eternal. So this truth, of course, is eternal. It's just as relevant as it was when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna as it is to us today. There's so many problems we have to confront every day in our lives, and the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita is the perfect medicine for all of the so many ailments that we might experience from this material world. So this idea that's being expressed here that there is the what endures, the spiritual energy, the spiritual nature, the soul, and what is temporary, the material body. This is considered to be the foundation. Even Srila Prabhupada mentions that this removal of this ignorance involves the reestablishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipful and the worshipable. So the sambandha, the beginning of spiritual life, we require spiritual knowledge, like Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much to distribute his books that he said that many things he said in this regard, but that the mass of people, he said that they're actually innocent, even though the Kali Yuga is a sinful age, the age where practically sinful life is the standard, and many people, they don't even consider that, of course, that there's a concept of what they're doing is sinful. They just, this is what is done, practically speaking. But so to remove this ignorance, Prabhupada was he expressed that the mass of people are actually innocent, and they're committing sinful activities, but they simply just, they don't know better. And he explained that there's a group of very powerful, hardcore demons who know exactly what's going on, sort of cooking up the soup. But he said the mass of people are actually innocent, and they simply need to be misdirected. He said that 90% of what I want to convey to the people is that we are not this body. If you listen to the early lectures of Srila Prabhupada in New York City, he's practically screaming, just trying to get, establish this movement with what little material resources he had at that time, struggling at Krishna's arrangement. And he was repeating over and over again, we are not this body, we are not this body. This is the... Of course, and there's so many things that build on that. The sambandha gyan is the foundation of building our spiritual life. But then after sambandha, abhideya, we take up the practice, of course, in the in the Kali Yuga that focuses on the chanting of the holy names and so many other things, but especially, of course, the chanting of the holy names. And then the prayojan, the result, which literally means the requirement. Is that correct? Prayojan? Aim? Doesn't mean the requirement? Aim. Anyway, the goal, the aim. So, which is pure love for Krishna. That's why we're here. That's why we do everything that we're doing. Because that is actually our original nature. It's covered over. So, ananda, we're actually blissful by nature. But in the material world, especially in the Kali Yuga, that's covered over like anything. And the material miseries are just constantly, they're coming. Like, wait, they cannot be stopped. The material energy, we're no match for the material energy. So the only hope for us is that we connect ourselves with the spiritual energy. We come under, we're the marginal potency of the Lord. We can come under either the material energy or the spiritual energy. For those who are under the material energy, like it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who's under the influence of false ego, he thinks he's the doer of his activities, but they're actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. So we think we're doing so many doing so many things, but we're not actually the doer. And those who are caught in the material energy, they practically have no choice. And the laws of karma are very stringent. They're very mechanical. You do something, you get a reaction. For devotees of Krishna, Krishna gets personally involved. Devotees also suffer, but it's explained that the suffering that the devotees experience, of course, they get some token of their karma, by the mercy of Krishna is reduced. Prabhupada would make this point at times. That the Krishna kindly reduces the suffering of the devotees, or the karmic reactions of the devotees. But the devotees also do suffer, and Krishna, he's personally involved. It's not the same with the materialists. It's just, very mechanical. For what they do, they get a reaction. To Krishna, when a devotee undergoes some type of suffering, Krishna's personally trying to purify that devotee of some attachment or some enjoying spirit that is keeping him here in this material world. Krishna has our best interest at heart. He wants us to go back to Godhead. And so he's helping us at every step, even the suffering. And of course, even with the suffering. And Maya Devi, she's providing that. That's her service on behalf of the Lord. She doesn't particularly enjoy making everybody suffer, but that's her service, and she does it very expertly. And we're no match for her. The only hope for us is to put ourselves under the shelter of the spiritual energy. So we do that by Krishna makes an arrangement. Krishna comes himself at times in his incarnations. But then he has this system called the disciplic succession, where in every generation there's spiritual masters present who are coming in disciplic succession, who are representing the Lord purely and his teachings and behaving properly. And Krishna, he agrees to appear, manifest himself through the spiritual master to the disciple. So the spiritual master becomes the mercy incarnation of the Lord. Not Vishnu Tattva, he's Jiva Tattva, but he's manifesting this potency of mercy of the Lord, for which we require. We're in a situation, we have to do our homework. It's not that we simply depend on the mercy. Mostly it's actually the mercy. But we have to also, the spiritual master gives instructions, we must follow, at least try our level best. Krishna likes when we try. But ultimately, it's without the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna, it's not possible. Maya is too much of a match. She's for us. She's Krishna's Shakti. We're also Krishna's Shakti, but she's the Maha Shakti. We're very infinitesimal. So humility. Trinadapi suni chena tarodapi suhishtuna amanida amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Krishna, Srila Krishna das Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all the 8 verses of the Shikshastakam of Lord Chaitanya, this one is the essence. He said it's so important that the devotee should take it and string it around their neck. By humility, by being always humble, meek and humble, we can get the mercy of the Lord. We may not be very expert in so many things. It's the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is described. The residents of the Kali Yuga are so unfortunate, so unlucky, their minds are always disturbed, isn't it? What an age. But then, somehow or other, it's the most fortunate. who can understand? It's simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord in this Kali Yuga, one can cross over the ocean of material suffering and not only get liberation, but get love for Krishna. None of the other incarnations of Krishna gave Krishna prema. They all give liberation. Isn't it? And then, and generally they come and they give their mercy to the great saints and the kings and the upper classes. Like this is described that Advaita Acharya, when he he of course is the one who called Lord Chaitanya to come down. He had that special position where he was preaching pure Krishna bhakti, but everyone in Navadvip, they were so materialistic. And they were just, according to the Vedas, they were just having big, very materialist, Vedic, but very materialistic celebrations and showing off their wealth and doing pompous ceremonies. And they didn't care. Advaita Acharya had a small group of followers and they didn't care for them. They thought that that was just not very important. And so Advaita Acharya, he felt that that Krishna himself must come. Otherwise, there's no hope. So he was offering Tulsi and Ganga water to a Shalagram Shila there, right on the bank of the Ganga, and begging Krishna to please come. You have to come here. So then, of course, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya. He appeared. And so then, at one point, when Lord Chaitanya was grown, then he was there in Mayapur, Navadvip, somewhere. And he sent a message to Advaita Acharya's house. And he said, through one devotee, he said, go find Advaita Acharya and tell him that that Lord for whom he has called, that for whom he was begging to come and inviting and requesting, please come, tell him that he's come. And tell him that he should come here. And so then the devotee came and he gave this message and to Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, when he first heard them, he became very happy. Oh, he's come. But then all of a sudden he changed and he said, how do I know it's true? How do I know? He said, you tell him I will be somewhere, and if he's the Lord, he's omniscient, he knows everything, he will find me. Then I will know it is him. I said, okay. So he gave his message. The message goes, the devotee goes back to Lord Chaitanya and he gives the message. So Lord Chaitanya, okay, let's go. So he takes and he goes and Advaita Acharya was somewhere. So he went and he goes to this place where Advaita Acharya is. And Advaita Acharya is there and he looks and he sees the Lord Chaitanya. So and he's very beautiful, very tall, golden, effulgent, long, beautiful hair. So beautiful, shining, and he pays his obeisances. And then when he looks up, he sees Lord Chaitanya, he's effulgent like thousands of suns. And he's offering his obeisances and then getting up and offering his obeisances and he's just very ecstatic. And then he gets up and he's dancing and he's dancing. He's come, he's just filled with joy. And then he comes and then Lord Chaitanya, he calls him over and he says, you've called me all this way, I've come here, so now what do you want? And then he's waiting to try again. He starts jumping. No, you've come. I don't want anything. Just you've come. That's enough. What else do we need? You've come. You were here. This is enough. What else more could anyone ask for? There's nothing more to ask for. And again, he's dancing, and Lord Chaitanya is just watching, and he's dancing, and again, he calls him, and he says, no, it's my policy. Somebody calls me, then I must give some benediction. And the Dvaitis Acharya, no, I don't want any benediction. You know, your association is the supreme. And Lord Chaitanya, so no, I insist. You must take some benediction. Okay. So then if I must take some benediction, then he said, well, in your previous incarnations, you come and you give your mercy to the great saints and rishis and yogis and kings and the kshatriyas and the royal classes and the brahmanas. But in this incarnation, I request that you give your mercy to everyone, to the most fallen. Everyone, no one will be deprived of your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, tatashtu, granted, so be it. And then Advaita Acharya says, but I have a second request. And Lord Chaitanya, said, I also request another benediction, that those persons who are very proud, who think they are very spiritually elevated, who think they are very austere and very regulated, and that they have so much knowledge, and that they are very, and they think they are very spiritually advanced, please don't give them your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, tatashtu, granted, so be it. So we see from this pastime of Advaita Acharya that how important it is to be very humble. If you're very proud, we don't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Our main qualification for getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is simply to be humble. Because what qualification do we have in the Kali Yuga? The main qualification we have, of course, is to be humble and also to be enthusiastic to serve and get the mercy. Because all the mercy is there. One time Srila Prabhupada said, Everything is there. Like the Lord has come, He's given everything. Everything is there. But simply the people, they're not taking advantage. And one time Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking with Vishnu Janaswami. Or Vishnu Janaswami was saying something to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for all the mercy you've given me. And Srila Prabhupada said, you have taken it. The mercy is there for everyone, but you have taken it. So it's like this. With Krishna, he sees with equal vision. He doesn't make a distinction. If somebody wants the mercy, then he gives the mercy. If someone wants to turn their back on him, and you know, then that's he also, you know, okay, he remains, you know, hidden. That's what they want. It's depend on our desire. Srila Rupa Goswami said that, how did he explain it? Something that the Krishna consciousness depends on the desire of the practitioner. It all depends on our desire.
The attitude.
Exactly. Thank you. The attitude. Depends on the attitude of the practitioner. Like we were mentioning before, how Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that one who's under the influence of false ego, they think they're the doer of so many activities that are actually being carried out by the three modes of material nature. So we think we're doing so many things, but we're not doing those things. We're not the doer. But there is one thing that we do, and that is that we're responsible for, and that is our attitude. Or like Srila Prabhupada, he was in an early lecture in New York, he was giving in a Bhagavad Gita class, he was giving the example about how Krishna was preaching to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, so Krishna explained the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and then after he said everything, then Arjuna didn't have to do anything. Because he says, because when we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna, he's actually the doer. He said, but he had to do one thing. He had to say yes. In other words, Krishna, he like when we go out and we preach, we're canvassing so many, please take this book. So someone can say yes, or they can say no. So that much is in our, of course, until we meet the devotees, then what to do? What is our option? The material modes of nature and its varieties of forms, isn't it? But once Krishna enters the equation, once the devotees are, then we have a responsibility, isn't it? Then our responsibility is to say yes. Prabhupada said like this. He said he doesn't have to do anything, but he has to do one thing. He has to say yes. He has to become Krishna's yes man. He said that's all. Krishna says, please do this. Yes. Otherwise, what is the opposite? No. And that is where all the problem is. It's so simple. But I remember I was in Berkeley one time, Berkeley, California, and Atmatapa Prabhu was giving the class a long time ago, Sunday feast lecture. And he said, Krishna consciousness is so easy. We chant Hare Krishna with our tongue, and then that same Hare Krishna goes and we hear it in our ear. Everything is there. Everything is there in the purification. He said, but the problem is, when the Hare Krishna leaves our tongue, before it even reaches our ear, we have a whole project. So like this, we are conditioned so many lifetimes. We have this, who doesn't? We're here and we have this conditioning. So the mind is spinning, isn't it? So we have all these, it happens, you know. So like this, so then what do like devotees would ask Prabhupada, that how I can control the mind, or how, you know, the mind is running here and there while I'm chanting, what to do? He said, just simply try to hear. Just simply try to hear the mantra. Like this. So everything is there in the chanting of the holy name. That is why Lord Chaitanya came. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, one time Satsrup Maharaj, she was speaking with Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you're here and we're also enlivened by your presence. And whenever you come and we get your association, it's wonderful, but by the arrangement of time and destiny, you won't always be with us. So then, what will we do in the future? We're very young and just beginning. And Prabhupada answered, he said, please try to understand that Krishna is non-different from his holy name. In other words, the spiritual master will not always be here, but Krishna is ever present in the form. Lord Chaitanya came to give Krishna in the form of his holy name. Like this, so we're chanting to get this realization. Chanting and how that realization comes by trying to avoid the fences. When we're chanting in the beginning, then so many offenses are there, and there's a namaparad, and then there's the three stages: the namaparad, and what is the next one? No, the three stages. After Namapara, then Namabhasya. And then the Shudanam, exactly. So in the beginning we're chanting so many aparas. But it's chanting. It's still beneficial. Better to chant Namapara than not to chant. We should never, that's false humility. Oh, I'm so fallen, I just stay away, and I don't want to disturb the Vaishnavas and my guru. No, it's false humility. Actually, Janani Vas Prabhu was giving class in Mayapur one time, and he said, if someone does not take the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they're simply a hypocrite. Because he's giving the mercy to everyone, to the most fallen. So no one can claim, well, I'm too fallen. Therefore, no. If you don't take it, what is the reason? But the reason is this: we have the mind. Right? The whole reason we're chanting is overcome the, because Ananda, Prabhupada, like that famous lecture of Prabhupada that's on the CD that's after the, anyway, where Prabhupada explains that this, the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra, it raises one immediately to the spiritual platform. So this is what the whole world needs. They're just, like all this stuff on the media, they're purposefully trying, like I was in Delhi, and I met an old German hippie. He told me he was here for like 2.5 months in Vrindavan taking prasadam at the Russian house. Anyway, it was a couple weeks ago. And so he said that like 15 years ago or something like this, he was in Goa, and there was just like all these Westerners at this cafe, just like full up, and everyone was traveling. Of course, the real thing is to take to Krishna consciousness, but I'm just giving an example. And he said, now, recently he went to the same cafe and there was just a few people there. I've seen people are becoming afraid. Of course, this is the world of fear. This is the world of fear. It's the material world. And anyway, so the opposite of fear, of course, like Srila Prabhupada's name, Abhay Charanaravinda, is to take shelter of Krishna. To take shelter. And then, not only to take shelter of Krishna, but to help others to take shelter of Krishna. We have a duty. Srila Prabhupada said, if you are grateful for anything that I've given to you, then please try to pass it on to others. It is our duty. Everyone in this Hare Krishna movement is a preacher. It's not just, those who are in the Sankirtan department, they're the preachers. And then everyone, because this is the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. We're all servants of Lord Chaitanya. That is our identity. We don't have any other identity except that we're servants of Lord Chaitanya. And what is Lord Chaitanya's mission? To bring the holy name to every town and field. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he established the Namhatta, he had a rule that, now we have Namhatta, sometimes we think Namhatta means we invite, it depends, it's still. And that we invite a sannyasi over, and then everybody comes, and there's a lecture, and then, of course, now there's also the Bhakti Viksha, there's council program. But anyway, sometimes, and then everyone comes, and we have it's a nice ecstatic time, and then people go home. But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Namhatta was very strategic. They would meet regularly every week, and there was a regular group of people, and then you had homework. Every member was a preacher. It wasn't just like you go and then you listen to the lecture and you go home. Oh, that was very nice. You had homework. And in between each week, the next meeting, you had to give the Maha Mantra to 5 people. So everyone is a preacher. Was it who's Lord Chaitanya said that everyone you meet, you tell them about Krishna. Huh. Because otherwise, what do they have? What alternative? The government is not going to tell them about Krishna. You know, their school teachers, unless they're fortunate, they're in, ISKCON school or something, their school teachers are not going to, And many, for most people in the Kali Yuga, their parents, not of course for in devotee families, but for most people born in the Kali Yuga, their parents, So where, or their colleges, or their bosses, so unless we are like the hand-picked ones at this time in history Lord Chaitanya, he's waiting to give the credit actually to whoever comes forward and simply takes up the mission. And like we were mentioning before, the main quality, we might think, I don't have so much knowledge, I can't preach. That even like there was little Saraswati, who was Malati's child, I believe, that there would be, Prabhupada would be there and with some of his devotees and Malati there and little Saraswati, and one Indian gentleman came in, and so Saraswati went up to this Indian gentleman and say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And he would say, "No, who?" He said, "Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Prabhupada, he was very pleased. He said, "This is preaching. She doesn't know very much, but what she knows, she tells." And actually, that alone is more than most people in the Kali Yuga. They know. They don't know who is God. They don't know. They don't know that he's a person, that he's the most beautiful person, the most charming, the most attractive. That he's playing with his coward boyfriends at Govardhan Hill. That he's playing with the gopis. That his father is Nanda. That his mother is Yashoda. That he's very naughty. That he's breaking the butter pot and then feeding the butter to the monkeys, and then the neighboring ladies, they come and complain to Mother Yashoda, and she looks at her, Krishna, and he's so beautiful and charming that she can't chastise him. They don't know these things. So by our natures, we have to become attracted to some great personality. We are the subordinate energy. So if we don't become attracted to Krishna and his pastime, then we'll become attracted to this rock star or this politician. It's natural. We have to. That's our nature. It'll come out in one... And what role models are there in the Kali Yuga? Of course, there are a few good ones, but a lot are not good at all. And so Lord Chaitanya is waiting for us to go out and take the mercy. Huh? What does Lord Chaitanya say? He said that I'm willing to sell my product of Krishna Prema at half price because I cannot find any buyers. What to do? He said like this, I have a headache because I'm seeing the anxiety, how much the people are suffering, and it's causing me suffering, causing me pain. He's very fatherly, very caring, very kind. Who can be more caring? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that, Lord Chaitanya, he's your greatest friend. The people, they're just rising every morning and every day, just another day closer to death. They're decorating their bodies like dead bodies, but they're neglecting the soul, the spirit. So what is the value? Unless someone comes in contact with the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, what is there? So Prabhupada, he's giving life to the whole world. Like he said in America, he said, these young boys and girls who are joining, they're the flowers of this nation. they will save this nation. Like this. So who can understand how Krishna works? Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is meant for the kings, right? Mentions in the fourth chapter. This is spoken to the kings. And Prabhupada, the most aristocratic, scholarly, perfect gentleman, Vaishnava guru, he came and by Krishna's arrangement, he was homeless and penniless in New York City, and he met, and he said that I was rejected, and then these the young people joining, coming from the counterculture, he said, and you were also on the outskirts, rejected from your society, and but by Krishna's arrangement, we met, and now we're a team, and we're doing something for Krishna. So like this, Sankirtan, together, individually, like Prabhupada would say that. If there's one stick, you can easily break it. But if you have 10 sticks, 20 sticks, you try to break it, it's very hard. So we must always keep ourselves in the association of devotees. Prabhupada said this is the most important fact in the material world. Or Kirtan Ras. He said Kirtan Ras is the safest, like this Kirtan. This is so wonderful here, actually. This is very unique in the whole universe. This Kirtan, but it's the safest place in the material world, Prabhupada explained. So we want to keep ourselves under the two lotus feet of Krishna. Keep ourselves in association of devotees. Prabhupada said, don't ever leave this ISKCON. Huh. Prabhupada said, ISKCON with all thy faults, I love thee. So people may criticize. Okay, constructive criticism, okay. There's faults. How can there not be faults? It's the material world. Of course there are faults. But then what is it? Those faults, what are those faults? That's Krishna giving us opportunity for service. So after we explain some constructive criticism, then the real thing is, now what responsibility, now how are we going to be grateful that Krishna is giving us some service to do? Srila Prabhupada said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so powerful Vaishnava that he could have delivered the whole universe. So powerful. But he didn't because he left something for us to do. So if like this, we have to take on some responsibility. The people that are waiting for us, they're suffering because we haven't somehow or other reached them yet. So of course, Krishna has his time frame, but we have to try. We have to make that the priority in our life. To get the mercy, get the nectar, and taste it. Like Jayananda Prabhu used to say this, that I could not go on every day in Krishna consciousness if I myself was not tasting the nectar in Krishna consciousness. We have to be happy. We have to be properly situated. We cannot be miserable and then go out and preach and then who's going to look at our face? Why should I join this? You look miserable. But when the devotee, that the greatest preaching, of course we want to know the philosophy, we should study. The greatest preaching is that we are actually happy. The Prabhupada is the most blissful. Devotees, they never saw anyone so, I mean, I never met, I came later, but from hearing. They never met anyone so blissful in their whole life. You know, he was just, anyway. So that is preaching. So first we get them, but then what? Then we don't, like Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not just I sit in my room and I lick up. It's not like this. We must, if we have a heart, what is the greatest quality of Krishna? His compassion. And he takes this form as Lord Gauranga. It's the mood of Radharani, the feminine mood, the compassion. That he's so concerned about the falling living entities. So we have to take up that. That is how we get Krishna's mercy. That is how we become recognized by Krishna. Without that, then the whole thing is simply passing us by or missing the boat. We don't want to miss the boat like this. So anyway, I've spoken some time. Maybe I'll stop here and ask if there's any questions or comments. And any...